With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ever wonder what it takes to go from being an amateur to professional in sport? Welcome to An Athlete's Blueprint, the podcast that uncovers the secrets of champions to let you know what it really takes to win a medal or break a record. Speaking to players and coaches, I capture insights from the training ground to the world stage, having the conversations normally kept behind closed doors. An Athlete's Blueprint is the podcast for sports enthusiasts starting out or those chasing the next podium. Get ready to rethink what you know about competing. In this episode, we speak to Nate Jones, a heavyweight bronze medalist at the 1996 Summer Olympics and professional boxer with 18 wins and 2 losses. Today, Nate is an established member of the Money Team with Floyd Mayweather Jr., helping strategize and coach fighters, becoming synonymous with the Chicago boxing scene. We pick up on why Nate decided to start boxing in the first place, his developing friendship and relationship with Floyd Mayweather Jr., some of his scariest moments inside the ring, the moment he discovered he had brain damage and the fallout, and mentoring and coaching professional fighters of today. This is an incredible conversation. You don't want to miss it.
I'd love to know why you got started in boxing.
Well, I got started from boxing when I was 8 years old. I was known in my neighborhood as a guy always getting into street fights. And so they signed a boxing program at a rec center near my house called Sewell Park, a park district. And so I went over there one day and I started boxing because people in my neighborhood made me. And it became the best move I ever made in my life.
And can you remember what some of those first training sessions were like?
Well, you know, boxing my friends, Jermaine Sanders, Robert Smith, Robert Fisher, some of my close friends growing up, we just went there every day after school and boxed and had fun. And, you know, the head coach of the gym, his name was Tom O'Shea. And he got a liking towards me because he said I was a natural. But at 8 years old, I couldn't understand what the word natural means. I couldn't quite understand him. So I kind of felt like he was a weird. But it took me a while to realize he wasn't. And he was really for my best interest. And boxing became the best move I ever made in my life, man. And boxing, I am boxing. And boxing is me. And boxing has been a part of my life. My whole life, man.
And growing up, was boxing something that, you know, other members of your family were interested in?
Well, both of my brothers tried it, but my brother Keith and my brother Tyrone. But it didn't work out for them as well, like it worked out for me. And, you know, it wasn't a good look for them, but I forgot I was a natural, I guess.
And, you know, when you were starting out, what were your natural skills that your coach had pointed out?
I had good hand movement, and I was fast. And along the years, I learned other qualities, which I was very crafty. I had a good combination. I threw a lot of punches. I stayed in tip-top shape when I was young, because I was an athlete, and I was always running around, always into something, always playing every sport, basketball, boxing, football, baseball. So I was an athlete, I was a national. So it worked out for me well. Boxing became the one sport that I excelled in. And once I excelled in boxing, boxing took me to the Olympics and took me to greatest steps in life. I've been all over the world because of boxing. I've been in Dubai, I've been all over because of boxing.
And can you speak about your journey through the Olympics?
Well, the journey of trying to make the Olympics team, I decided to get back into boxing when I came home from prison in 1994. I went home for like 2 weeks and I got caught with some marijuana. And my boxing coach found out that I had got locked up again. And he found out, he ended up giving me a lawyer, buying me out of jail, and told me that if I come to the gym every day, he'd give me $100 a week if I was able to put some money in my pocket and just come to the gym and train. And that's what I did. And I got a liking for the sport again. I fell back in love with the sport. And he told me one day, he said, Nate, let's find the Golden Gloves. The Golden Gloves tournament is coming up this year. Let's see how well you do. You may not win it this year, but you may do well. And we decided to go into the National Golden Gloves. I mean, go to the Golden Gloves and face the reigning National Golden Glove champion, which was from Chicago. His name was Fred Aquino, who's one of my best friends right now. I had to face the reigning National Golden Glove champion. And I knew that was going to be a tough task, but I trained hard. I stayed dedicated. My coach told me he didn't think that I was going to beat Fred Aquino, but I happened to beat him and go to the Nationals, and I won the Nationals. And why at the Nationals is where I met Floyd Mayweather. And me and him just completely changed my life. Everything went uphill from meeting him and learning so much from Mayweather and the whole family. That was the best move I ever made in my life, becoming the best friend of Floyd Mayweather. We met at the National Golden Gloves in Milwaukee that year, and we never separated. We became the best of friends. And we're good friends to this day.
And your friendship with Floyd, what are some of the most important or special moments you have had together?
Well, you know, a lot of things was happening in my projects in Chicago. Like, it was a couple of murders happened. And I would have been with my same friends who got killed when I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan with Floyd Mayweather. And that is, you know, he became my angel. When I thought about those situations, I realized God wanted me to be in Grand Rapids. And Floyd was like an angel to me. And it really just changed my life to realize that I could have been one of the ones that was there that night when I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, hanging with Floyd Mayweather and learning his work ethic. When I was younger, I used to cut corners a lot. I would cheat in boxing. I would not run miles. I'd tell my coach I ran and didn't run. But with Floyd Mayweather, he didn't cheat. He didn't lie. And that became, his work ethic became my work ethic, because when he said he ran, he ran. And so when I said I ran, when we ran, I had to run with him all the time. So it became a work ethic that I got embedded into my system, because he didn't cut no corners and I did. And when I learned how to cut corners, that's how I made the Olympic team in 1996, because me and Mayweather showed me that cutting corners wasn't going to work. And that's the best thing I learned about Floyd, his dedication, his hard work, and him not cutting corners.
I love that. And after the Olympics, going into your professional career, what were the first few fights like?
Well, it was different when you first turned professional. Amateur in the Olympics, we use headgear. And pros, you don't. So that was the one thing that really made me more alert. When them punches coming past your head with them little 10-ounce gloves on, and you have to realize, you have to be very aware defensively, because punches really hurt. And when the red, when them gloves is 10 ounces, it really it hits you and hurts you. And I realized how serious it was. When that was the one thing I really realized when I turned pro, how the punches really hurt, and how there was no protection, there was no headgear, and your attendants had to be up and be aware at all times. Every move you make had to be precise, and it was very dangerous. The danger of the sport is what I caught on to. It was very dangerous.
And being in that dangerous environment, how did you prepare for these fights, these professional fights?
Well, you know, training for the professional fights, and then, you know, I realized it was the way I take care of my family and took care of my kids. I knew walking down that tunnel, going down that tunnel, getting ready to walk in that ring, I can die that night. I took it very serious, because all it takes is one punch. I knew I'm fighting that hit with one punch, and next day he was blind. So I heard about those type of stories happening to individuals I knew, and I just realized it was dangerous, and I had to take it serious. And I couldn't come in halfway trained or do anything halfway, because boxing was very serious, and you needed your full dedication.
What were some of the scariest moments for you inside the ring?
One of the most scariest moments when, in the Olympics, I got hit with a punch and I lost control of my legs. And I never experienced that before. And I was trying to walk normal, but I couldn't. And that was one of the most scariest moments of my life in the ring. When you can get hit with a punch and lose total control of your legs was scary to me. But that's the danger that boxers face. And that's how serious the sport is. And that's why I took it very serious, because you can lose your night, you can lose your life when you walk in a ring. It's very dangerous.
And before you walked into your professional fights, did you have any pre-game rituals or anything that made you feel safe?
I had a prayer that I always said to God. I said, God, this is how I take care of my family. I said, please, I'm going to go out here and fight hard like you told me to. Just don't let nobody hurt me, God. And then that was my prayer. I said, every fight, before every fight, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to go out there and fight hard and try to win for my family and support my family. But just please don't let no one hurt me. And that's the prayer I always said before every fight. And it helped out a lot, because I never really got hurt. All boxers have a slurred speech a little bit after so many years. Muhammad Ali, Floyd Mayweather, all my friends, none of my friends talk the same. Antonio Tarver, I seen the difference in all my friends, the way they speak to me. But I learned that it comes with the territory. Like me, I may slur here and there, but it's part of my craft, part of the sport I was in. I dedicated my life to this sport, and that's what comes with the territory. You know, you certain speeches, and that's one of the things that I deal with every day.
And how do you deal with that?
I take my time out. I take my time out and talk slowly but clearly, especially when I want to make someone hear me clearly. I take my time. And I speak clearly one step at a time, because most people get hit in their head maybe 10 times in their whole life. I've been hitting my head a million times, sparring sessions, real fights, amateur pros, over a million times I've been hitting my head. So that's the reason why the slurred speech came in. And We all deal with that. And it's part of our craft. All boxers, they're hitting the head over a million times in their career. And it's dangerous, very dangerous.
And after your professional career ended, you sort of transitioned into part of the Floyd Mayweather money team. And what's it been like coaching and helping strategize for up-and-coming boxers and current boxers?
Well, when I decided to retire, one day my mom came to me and she said, "Nate, sit down, I want to talk to you." And I said, "What, Mom?" She said, "Babe, when you talking, I can't understand that one word you say, especially on the phone, and sometimes when you're in front of me, I don't understand nothing you say." And she said, "I want you to go get looked at, go get checked out." And she made me call my manager, my promoter, Don King, on the phone. And she was right there, and I told her what my mom said. And he said, "Okay, Nate." He put him on the phone with his secretary, Colette James, and I told her, what my mom said. And I noticed I have been having a couple of headaches here and there. And she said, they set up an appointment for me to go to this Northwestern Hospital in Chicago. And I went down to Northwestern Hospital and did some checks on me, on my brain. And it took about a week. And they came to me a week later and they said, I had one more meeting. I came to the meeting and they told me, they said, "Nate, we see some brain damage on your head. And he said, we want you to take a year off from boxing. And after a year, come back and see me and I'll decide if you can get back in the ring." And once he said that to me, I decided, I started crying. And I said to him, I said, "If you see something in my head, some damage in my head, and you're telling me to take off for 1 year, I'm just going to retire." And he was like, "What? No, I don't want you to retire. You can do it one more, let's take a year off." I said, "No, sir. If you see something in my head and you're telling me to take off a year, I'm gonna retire." I had my ride. I went to the Olympics. I won a bronze medal. I won the North American belt. If my role ends here, it ends here, and I'm done. So I made the announcement that my career was over. And about a week later, I get a phone call from Mayweather. It was an article that I retired in the Ringside magazine. And I saw the article, and he called me. He's like, "Man, you retired, Nate, what happened?" And I explained to him what happened. And I told him that since the doctor told me to take a week off, take a year off, I decided to retire. And he told me, he said, "Nate," he said, "that's okay, Nate." He said, "You're going to be a very good trainer, Nate." I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, but when he said that to me, he said, "Nate, you're going to be a very good trainer." He said, "You know the game very well. Come up here to Vegas with me, and I got you. I'll make sure you make some money and be a good trainer." And that's what I did. The next week, I was flying to Vegas, and I got a rejuvenation in life because I didn't know what I was going to do. My career was over. But when he told me that one day, "And Nate, you're going to be a good trainer, you know the game very well." And I thought of that. I'm like, "Well, I do know the game very well. So let me, I'm going to be a great trainer." Because I felt like a nobody. My career was over with at 28 years old. And it broke my heart. But when Floyd called and told me that day, this gave me a new look on life, that I had a chance to become a world champion as a trainer, and that felt so good to me.
I think that's really heartwarming. And, you know, I think it goes without saying that that doctor saved your life and helped you start a new life.
Well, my mama did. My mom was the first one to get my attention because when she told me that, she couldn't understand nothing I say over the phone or in person. it brought me to tears, and I really went in, like she said, go seek for help. And once I found that it was some damage on my brain and to take some time off, I decided to retire. And, you know, some people can be great champions. Some people can be great trainers. And I guess my role God got for me is to be a great trainer. And I'm inspired by making a world champion. When that young man become world champion, I'm world champion with him. So that makes me feel good. So that's my dream. And that's why I'm saving these young men's lives in Chicago, where we really, really, really need it. Because these young kids don't have no sense of direction. And it's a different lifestyle growing up in the 90s than now. These kids, they have prescription drugs. They have so much stuff. There's so much bad things going on in the streets that it's hard for a young man to stay focused. And my things within my gym, I'm going to tell them what they can do. And I can show them what I did. And they can leave my story because they know it's true. They know I'm from the projects like they are. And I went to them because I won a bronze medal. Why can't you do the same thing? So that's the one thing that I'm so proud now I'm able to give back to these young men, because they really, really need it here in the city of Chicago and really all over this country, all over the world. The kids need someone to mentor them and help them, because a lot of the kids ain't got fathers in their lives. And that's what I didn't have, and that's what I'm like a father figure to these young men, because I make a difference. They have someone they can look up to and someone they must respect. And that says a lot.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a trainer, what do you think your best asset is?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As a trainer, I think my best asset is learning the fighter. One thing coaches need to do, they have to learn the fighter. What I say to you to get you going may not work for him. So I gotta find your language. I gotta find what makes you tick. What makes you go? I got to learn you. And once I learn you, I can train you and I can teach you. And in a good form, because we have a good understanding. I know what makes you tick. I know how to talk to you. I may say to one fighter, I may get up under him and say, look, man, you're not doing well. Listen to me. But if I know this young man who's a little timid, if I say it to him, he might shut up. So I got to learn the language of every fighter. And that's what trainers, they really don't understand. You got to learn your fighter. I talk to everybody different. Everybody got their own swag. Everybody got their own way of understanding certain type of words or certain way you put it. So I talk to everyone different. That's the one thing a lot of trainers don't realize these days. Everybody is different. You got to talk to everyone to their frequency, to their rhythm, to their way of talking, to their way of language. To their rhythm, you know what I'm saying? To their knowledge, their understanding. I talk to everybody different because everyone is different. But I get a great understanding out of everyone, because everyone, I learn to talk to them at their frequency, at their level. And once you do that, you can mentor them better, you can teach them better, You can tell them more about life. They listen to you better because you take time out to listen to them, and vice versa. So it really works.
Thank you. And, you know, we see a lot of, in modern sport, well, boxing, it's always been a part of boxing, but trash talking. As a coach, do you have any, how do you deal with the trash talking?
I used to talk a lot of smack. So that's something that that was my thing. I mean, coming up in the projects, Cabrini Green in Chicago, we talk so much smack that you know, some people need that to keep them, get them going. Some people don't need it. But trash talking, you let it rub off one shoulder to the next one. You pay no attention because it really doesn't have no significance unless you let it. You know what I'm saying? I don't let trash talking get to me. I know how to do it when I get to my opponent, but I try not to let his trash talking reverse and get to me. So you gotta rub it off the shoulder, cause you know what I'm saying. If you're able to have, you gotta have wide shoulders in this sport. And if you're not able to have wide shoulders, take the bitter with the sweet. Some stuff you keep, some stuff you throw away. That's in the game of boxing. Gotta learn what to take and what not to take.
And how do you help your fighters that have lost matches recover?
You know what I tell them? I say, hey, listen. As soon as the fighter, when I grab him, I hug him, I say, listen, it's not called a loss, son. It's called an L, a learning lesson. We didn't lose tonight. We learned tonight. It's learning. We're going to learn how to win the next one. You can't win them all. And like I tell my... I tell my fighter, I tell him a story. I say, listen, when you play basketball, do you make every shot? No, you don't make every shot, no. So you're not going to make every shot. You're not going to win every fight. Michael Jordan didn't win every game. He lost some games. But it's called a learning lesson. You turn into a learning lesson, not a loss. A learning lesson, an L. We call it L tonight. We call it a learning lesson. Not at all, because you don't lose, champ. Champs win all the time by being here, climbing that ring, and putting in that work. You won anyway. So I tell them like that, man. You didn't lose tonight. You call it a learning lesson.
I love that. I'm actually going to take that into my own life. You know, whenever I lose, I'm going to say, no, it's a learning lesson. I really like that philosophy.
And... On the hill, a learning lesson.
And, you know, boxing is full of glamour and honor and stuff. When it comes to memorabilia, what are some of your most prized possessions?
Well, oh yeah, listen, you know, I have a bronze medal I won in 1996, and no one knew why in the Olympics my twin sister was dying of lupus.
And oh my word.
Yeah, I have my mom. My mom was going to the Chicago Sun-Times newspaper, flew my mom down, because why in the Olympics, my sister was on a deathbed. I knew my sister had lupus. I didn't know she was about to die, why I'm in the Olympics. So all of my friends, the whole city knew not to tell me nothing about it. And I didn't know my sister was finna almost die. Why I'm in the Olympics, winning my fights. So the newspaper, everybody in the city knew not to mention it to me because they knew I wouldn't have left and came back from Atlanta, took a Greyhound bus and came and see my sister. They knew how I was about my twin sister. So after come home from Atlanta, the Chicago Sun-Times flew my mom down for she to tell me the bad news. Cause she was gonna pull the plug.
Oh my God!
Either before I lose my next fight or I win it all, she's gonna wait and see how far I go. She's gonna wait for the right moment to put me to the side and tell me about my twin sister, who she was gonna pull the plug on. But I kept winning, so she said to wait for the right moment to put me to the side and tell me. So, the day I won my bronze medal, my twin sister woke out of a coma. So there was no more bad news to tell me. So they just going to have me greeted at the airport, at the O'Hare Airport, when I flew back in from Chicago, from Atlanta back to Chicago from Olympics. But when I flew home, my twin sister was there in a wheelchair. Like I said before, I knew she had lupus, but I didn't know how bad it had gotten. And all my friends told me, said, man, Nate, you just don't know your sister was there, bro. We couldn't tell you, you know what I'm saying, what was going on because we didn't want to break your heart. But that's why in Chicago, sometimes for your mom now, because they knew she was going to mentally tell you, but this girl woke up out of a coma. And when I heard that, I put my medal on her neck. So my twin sister, Nellie Jones, got my bronze medal on the neck. And this April, the Olympic Committee is giving me another one. This April, I'm going to Indianapolis, Indiana for a ceremony, and I'm getting another medal. So that's going to be great to be able to show these young men the bronze medal that I can have it in my hand and show them what they're able to get. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be so amazing for me when I get that medal in my hand again in April. So I'm blessed. The Olympic Committee has re-given me a medal that I gave to my twin sister. It's on her neck right now as she lay in her grave. So I'm blessed with that. I'm so happy to be able to get a new medal so I can show these kids in the city how that medal look. I go all over the world, all over the country, and show these young men that it's possible. So that's my dream and that's my goal.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to hear about your sister. But I am grateful that you had the opportunity to give her your medal, and I think that's a really kind thing to do. So beyond boxing, you know, people that follow you and know your story, what's something that you do for a hobby outside of the sport of boxing?
Well, Muhammad, I just love music. Love listening to music. Yeah, I love music. That's my, and playing a PS5.
Oh, which games do you play?
I play basketball. I play with my nephews, my grandson, and once they get to beat me, I turn the game off. I'm a son of music.
Yeah.
So remember,
you said it's a learning though.
Yeah, it's a learning lesson, right? And yeah, they give me all the time. But playing the game and listening to music is my go-to.
I love that. No, thank you so much. I've really felt inspired hearing about, you know, your journey coming from the projects to winning the medal to then, you know, having a professional career and, you know, your special.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Your relationship with Floyd Mayweather through the years. And, you know, looking forward, is there anything that you're beyond getting another bronze medal from the Olympic Committee? Is there anything else that you're looking forward to this year?
Well, I'm looking to give me a world champion. I'm trying my best. Train these young men. I got a couple young men that's on their way to fight for world titles soon. You know what I'm saying? And that's my goal, to become a world champion. Because when my fighter becomes champion, I'm champion. And I just want to be able to show these young men all across the country it's possible, that hard work pays off. If you dedicate yourself to anything, you can make it. You can make it possible. So that's all I'm doing for the rest of my life, man, is mentoring these young men and making a difference, because we need to now. It's a different era. It's a different life. And it's hard out here for these young men. It was harder for me coming up, but it's rougher now. So I feel obligated to make a point, to make a change. And this is what I'm born to do. This is what I want to do.
And just for the listener, can you name some of these fighters that you're working with so we can keep an eye on them?
Well, Chris Pearson, I just young man out of Cincinnati, Ohio, that's been doing real well. He's had a big fight. It didn't go our way, but we got some big things in the future for him. Dylan Price, young man from Philadelphia, young man is fighting for a real title soon. We'll be fighting, I think, again in June, I think, for a real title. So, there's Chris Pearson, Bola, I got a young man named Bola from Nigeria. He's here. We just suffered his first loss. He's 9-1 now. Bola, Chris Pearson, and Dylan Price is my young future champion of the world. So one of these guys is going to be world champion. Dylan Price, Chris Pearson, or Bola.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually know Bola. I yes. interviewed him as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing his journey unfold. Yes. No, thank you so much. It's been really inspiring speaking with you, and I hope I get to do it again.
You will, man. Thank you so much. And let me know whenever I'm doing. Thank you. Had a great time, and it's been a pleasure being on your podcast. And let's do more stuff in the future.
Thank you. All right, then. Have a great day.
You too, brother.
Thank you for listening to this episode of An Athlete's Blueprint. The authentic stories shared in this podcast aren't for everybody. They were just for you, a true sports enthusiast. Whether you're going into your next practice session or at the starting line for the finals, take the winner's insight from the athletes and the coaches you heard from today. Remember, this advice is only available on An Athlete's Blueprint podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.